Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. My name is Brian Payne and I'm chair of the Hospitality Ministries team. We're so glad that you're worshiping with us this morning. Even though Easter Sunday was April the 4th, we continue to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus during this season called Eastertide, which is 50 days. In the description section of our live feed, you'll find worship materials, including an order of service and links to our hymns. We also invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you. It is our hope that you experience the joy of Easter as you worship with us today.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have much to rejoice about this morning on this day of Pentecost when we celebrate the birthday of the church and the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad to see all of you, and those of you who are joining us on live stream, we're so glad to be joined together by the Spirit. And as we gather this morning, I have just a few announcements to share with us. If you haven't already done so, we'd love for you to register your attendance. If you're here in the sanctuary, the registration pads are in the pew. If you're joining us online, you can click on the link that you see there and sign in online. If you're visiting with us and would be willing to share an email address or a mailing address, that will allow us to send you our newsletter and let you know some of the ways we're trying to live out God's love in our world. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, from 3 to 4:30, we're gathering in the parking lot for Chalk Fest. This is for families with children and teenagers and people of all ages to come and welcome and just have a good time. You don't have to register, just show up in the parking lot if you want to have some fun today and some fellowship. So that will be from 3 to 4:30. we continue to have a very vibrant attendance on live stream, and one of the things we really enjoy doing is helping people connect as they worship online. So we always have a host for our Facebook and live stream services, and we're looking for more volunteers to do that. If you would be willing, especially if you're one who worships online every Sunday and would be willing to host and provide links for people and welcome people, we would love for you to participate in that way. And you can email Katie Minnis and find her email address on the website and let her know you're interested in helping out. Our summer Sunday school will begin on June 5th, and we are welcoming Dr. Matthew Charlton, who will be teaching about theologies of hope. On Sunday the 5th, he will actually be out of town, so he will be teaching over live stream, and you are welcome to participate on live stream, or if you're part of a Sunday school class, to come and gather in your Sunday school classroom and then engage in conversation that way. After the 5th, he will be here on campus in the theater. If you don't have a Sunday school class, you're welcome to join in person in the theater, and always welcome to join in online, or however you would like to do that. Finally, some wonderful news. If you missed the Friday email, our Task Force for Reopening met this past week. This is a group of very wise individuals involved in the medical and mental health communities. And they have recommended that starting next Sunday, those who are vaccinated can come to worship without a mask. And so we're excited about that. And we are a community of trust. And so we trust that those who've not yet been vaccinated will feel comfortable wearing their masks, and we'll do that for the sake of themselves and others. And there are many who may choose to wear a mask even though you're already vaccinated as an extra precaution. And so come masked or not if you're vaccinated, and everybody's welcome, and we will be excited to see one another's faces as we're able. So that will start next Sunday. But this Sunday, we are here. We are worshiping God. We are celebrating the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out on all of us, on all of the church, on all the world on this day of Pentecost. So let us worship inspired by the Spirit.
Oh, Come, Holy Spirit. 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 May we receive the Holy Spirit in this place. Amen. When we are tired, when we are weak, when we don't know how or what to pray, the Holy Spirit goes before us and with us, forming prayers out of our wordless sighs. And God welcomes us with open arms, ready to receive us. So then let us confess our sins together, that together we might experience God's Spirit at work in our midst. God of fire and wind, we confess that we have missed the movement of your Spirit in our lives and in our world. We have not always followed the Spirit's lead. We have not pursued your anointing or your sanctifying presence. We have not lived in holiness. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from bondage into life in the Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love in whatever ways we feel most comfortable. The peace of Christ be with you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Mark and Lisa Mobley bring their daughter to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Mark and Lisa, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? My friends in the congregation, both here and joining us online, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
And what name have you given your child?
May Aline.
May Aline. May Aline Mobley. I baptize you in the name of God, our Creator, Christ, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our Comforter and Advocate. Yeah, you want to touch the water? It's warm. Oh, there you go. And now together, we're going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. If Dad wants to place an arm on you, all the congregation's going to pray together. May Aline, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. And now, Miss May, we're going to ask your parents to take you right over there so everybody can see you, as together we make a promise to be your church family and love and support you.
Will the congregation please stand and face May Aline? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend May Aline to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, May Aline, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation, the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The lesson this morning is from the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I would like to take a special moment with the children, some who are watching with us online. I know we have one or two little ones with us in the sanctuary as well this morning. I am guessing that everybody who can see me right now has had a birthday before. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe there's one or two who hasn't had a birthday yet. But most of us in the room have had at least one birthday, right? I'm guessing, too, that most of us have been to a birthday party before. And what usually happens at a birthday party is there's a cake with candles and flames, people sing, and whoever is being celebrated with the birthday gets presents. Well, today is a birthday party. It's the birthday of the church. And the story that Mr. Tom just read talks about how on the birthday of the church, the Holy Spirit was poured out in a new way. And it looked kind of like flames. It wasn't really fire, but it looked like fire. So it kind of looked like birthday candles a little bit. And there was a special gift given on the birthday of the church. The Holy Spirit was given to everybody who was there. So it wasn't just one special birthday person who got gifts, but everybody got the gift of the Holy Spirit. So today is kind of like a big party in the church. I think God wants every Sunday to feel like a big party where we're all happy and rejoicing. But today's a special day, so let's wish the birthday, happy birthday to the church. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you that we get to celebrate a very special birthday today, the birthday of the church, when you poured out the Holy Spirit on this little group of people who then went and told the whole world all about Jesus and God's love through Jesus. Help us to celebrate today and to do everything we can to share your light and love with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I do love Pentecost. I love any reason for a party, especially a party in church. And this is an incredibly special day in the life of the church universal. And we hear this story of how there was a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit on this little band of Jesus followers, maybe 120 people, most of them from Galilee. And how through the power and the miracle of the Holy Spirit, they were suddenly speaking all the languages of the earth. And they told the story of Jesus in all these different languages. And then the story went out from there all around the world. I'm especially grateful on Pentecost for the brave person who stands up and reads the text in worship. Kudos to you, Tom. Perfect job. Tom was the lucky one, or the unlucky one, who got to read all of those Parthians, Medes, Elamites, blah, 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 blah. And I must confess, that's often what I do when I read this text from the second chapter of Acts. It Parthians, Medes, blah, 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 blah. I don't pay that much attention to all of the different nations and languages listed. But this year, I decided I was going to do some research. I was going to do some homework. So before Bible study on Tuesday morning, I looked up the Parthians and I even got a map out. Well, I didn't get a map out. I looked online, as we do now, to see where all of these nations were. And I learned a few things. Of course, I had to write it down so I would remember. Did you know that the Parthians had an enormous empire that stretched all the way from the Euphrates River to modern-day Pakistan? Parthians were a large and diverse group of people. The Medes inhabited what we now think of as Iran, and some think these were the ancestors of the Kurds, many of whom live in our own community today. Then, of course, we have Rome, which was the center of the most powerful empire of the day, and Egypt and Cyrene, which are all from the African continent. If you look at the map, you see the incredible diversity of languages and cultures and peoples that are represented at this moment when the Holy Spirit is poured out. Someone even commented in Bible study that from its very beginning, the church was multicultural, multilingual, multiracial. This was God's design and hope for the church. By choosing to pour out the Holy Spirit on this moment when all of these people would be gathered in the city of Jerusalem, what a brilliant plan to have the gospel, the one story of God's love made known in Jesus Christ, told in many cultures, many languages, many different ways. One story, many voices. It's a reminder on this Pentecost Sunday of who we're called to be as the church, who God wants the church to be. One story told in many thousands and millions of different ways. And yet, I don't know about you, but I have this tendency to get locked down in my own way of experiencing God's love through Jesus, my own story, my own way of understanding, my own language and images. There's a funny story that's often told among seminary students. I don't know if it's true or not, but as the story goes, there's a young seminary graduate, fresh out of school, ready to serve his first church and to bring to this new congregation all that he's learned in seminary. And so on his first Sunday, he decides to read the scripture, not from the King James Version, but from the New International Version. And as everyone's leaving church, someone comes through and says, "We got to read from the King James Version. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me." But Jesus didn't speak English, not King James English. And yet somehow, I understand that attachment to the way that we've heard the gospel and experienced the love of Jesus.
Growing up in church in the fellowship hall, there was this portrait of Jesus, a very famous portrait of Jesus by Warner Salmon. Many of you, I'm sure, have seen it. It's still hanging in many churches, in the church that I go to every summer for our family reunion. It's a portrait of Jesus that I gazed upon and prayed throughout my childhood and youth. It's Jesus looking up with long blonde hair and blue eyes. It's a portrait that inspired me and that helped me to feel Jesus' presence in my life. It was only later that I began to realize Jesus didn't have blonde hair and blue eyes. As a Semitic Jew, he would have had dark hair and olive skin and dark eyes and probably was shorter than I am. And rather than being a problem, I found that to be exciting and a blessing. To realize that the way I had heard the story of Jesus and I had experienced all these things was one way, but there are Christians all over the world who tell the story differently, who worship in different styles, who speak different languages, and share with different images. And it's all blessed by the Holy Spirit and part of God's universal church. There is so much blessing to be received when we can lean in and be open to hearing the gospel in different ways. That's one reason I have had so much fun. All of us on staff have had so much fun looking for artwork for the bulletin. It's one of the unexpected blessings that's come out of this time of pandemic, because we only have so much in our budget for color ink. So the fact that most of our bulletins this year have been digital has opened the door for us to look for different kinds of art that match up with the scriptures. So we've looked for artists from different cultures and images of Jesus and the angels and biblical characters that come from different races and different cultures. And it's been a beautiful exploration to see how differently the story can be told. The same story through different voices and different cultures. I like to imagine God's church, the universal church, as a big table, a round table, where nobody has a seat that's any more prominent than anybody else, but we all have a seat. And we all come to that table with our story and with our experience of God's love through Jesus Christ as we have come to know Christ. I come to the table with the story of how I first fell in love with Jesus at a youth group at Brentwood United Methodist Church in a white, affluent suburb of Nashville, Tennessee. And I had youth volunteers and people who taught me Sunday school and loved me and shared forgiveness and grace with me and walked with me in some of the hardest experiences of my life. And I bring that story, and it has a place at the table. And then I can lean in with humility and curiosity to hear how other people in other parts of the church have experienced the love of Christ, how they are telling the same story in different languages and different ways. I think about a congregation with whom I got to worship in Moscow. It was a little Methodist congregation in a culture that doesn't welcome very easily churches of other denominations. Some members of that church were rejected by their families because they became Methodists. And hearing their story caused me to look at my own life and be so grateful for the privileges I have had to worship as I choose. I was so inspired by their courage and their faith. It was a blessing to me. I remember that congregation in Uganda that I got to worship with such vibrant dancing and singing and telling stories of God's deeds of power and miracles in their own lives, and it inspired me to consider the power of the Holy Spirit that I so often underestimate. I think about the congregation in Tlanquilpecan, Mexico, sitting in worship, not understanding the language, but understanding the story and the Spirit. and being so inspired by their hospitality in the midst of great poverty. Each one of you has a story to tell. In many ways, it's the same gospel story of the love of God poured out on you through Jesus Christ. And you're invited to bring that story to the table, just as it is. And then we're invited to lean in together and invite other voices and other perspectives and other cultures and other stories to hear our story and to invite ourselves to hear theirs, that we might continue to grow into this beautiful, multicultural, multiracial, multilingual church that God has called us to be from the very beginning. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please rise in body or spirit as we affirm our faith. The affirmation of faith number 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with our pastoral team to pray throughout the week, you can go to our website and follow the link under Contact Us and let us know. This morning, we celebrate a rose, a new rose. Nicholas Lewis Banker, son of Marta and James Banker, was born on May 5th, 2021 in California. Jean Ann and Barry Banker are his grandparents. This morning, we also remember that Edith Motes passed away on May 14th. Graveside services were held at Woodlawn Cemetery on May 19th. And our sympathy goes to Mike and Lisa Garrett in the death of Mike's son, Sam Garrett, who died on Wednesday, May 19th. Visitation is today, Sunday, May 23rd, from 11 to 2 at Neil Tarpley Parchman Funeral Home in Clarksville. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Spirit of Jesus, come with fire that refines, water that refreshes, wind that topples, and breath that fills. Free us from all fear. Give us strength to carry on. Give us hope and joy sufficient for each day. Spirit of Jesus, give us power to be the church. Impart your many gifts to our members that we may be the body of Christ's presence in the world. Free us from all fear and renew our life together. Spirit of Jesus, bind us close together. May we rejoice with one another's joys and weep with one another's sorrows. Bind us together. Kindle a global revival of empathy, justice, and active peacemaking. Restore our reputation for caring for the poor, loving our neighbors, being ambassadors of peace and stewards of the earth. Spirit of Jesus, let us stand for love and with love, following the way of Christ as we are best able. Show us what you're doing so we can work together. Move where you will, when you will, and in whatever way you will. Come, Holy Spirit, and restore your church. We ask all this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give with the options listed on the screen or the chat. For those worshiping in person, there are offering boxes in the narthex at the back of the sanctuary where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us now offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
Upon this track, it runs to heaven and right back.
to invite those who are joining to come forward. As folks are making their way up, I'll introduce you to Lisa and Mark Mobley and their daughter May, who was recently baptized. May is 9 months old. Lisa is a risk manager with Asurion, and Mark is a product lead with Graphite RX. And then Brennan and Gentry Smith with their son Paul, who's a year old, and I think they're in the same preschool class, which is fun. Brennan is the development director with the American Heart Association, and Gentry is vice president of sales and development at Reliance Partners. They're transferring from First Centenary United Methodist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So Mark and Lisa, the first question is for you. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. And for all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Would the congregation please rise in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest members. Family of God, Lisa, Mark, May, Brennan, Gentry, and Paul are now entrusted to your love and your care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. For those of you here in the sanctuary, I invite you to join us on the West Lawn to greet these newest members following the service. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
God's Holy Spirit is now on the altar of our hearts. Let it shine through us that we might share Christ's love with all the world and know Christ's peace and hope as we do. Amen.